All right. Ready to unpack timeshares and vacation clubs? We're diving into vacation ownership, all those options, and figuring out what's what.
It can feel like you're navigating a maze, right? Especially with all the jargon they throw at you. We're going to break it all down.
Exactly. It's like everyone's promising you the world, but in a slightly different language. So let's decode it together. First things first, when you hear timeshare, what pops into your head?
Beachfront condos, guaranteed vacations, maybe a little bit of, is this too good to be true?
Right. Everyone's seen those presentations. But at its core, what does earning a timeshare actually mean?
It's like owning a piece of a vacation property, right?
Right.
But instead of the whole thing, you're getting a slice of time.
A slice of time. So not just a slice of the property.
That's the key. Think of it like, say, you have a beachfront condo that's divided into 52 pieces, one for each week of the year.
Okay, I'm picturing it.
When you buy a timeshare, you're buying one of those weeks, or maybe even a few, depending on how much time you want.
Got it. So it's like owning a week of vacation every year. Sounds pretty straightforward so far.
Well, it can get a little more complicated, because then you have shared deeded versus shared leased ownership.
Oh, yeah. Those terms always trip me up. What's the difference again?
Shared deeded means you actually own a tiny fraction of the physical property itself. Think of it as, I don't know, like owning a brick in a huge building.
So if you sell, you're selling that tiny piece of the actual property.
That's it. With shared leased, you're buying the right to use the property for a certain amount of time, usually a week each year, for a specific number of years.
So more like a long-term lease agreement.
Exactly. And that makes a big difference when you try to sell it later on, as you can imagine.
Makes sense. It's like the difference between owning a house and renting an apartment.
Okay, so then we have vacation clubs. Are those like timeshares 2.0?
Kinda. Instead of a specific week at a specific place, you're buying points, like a vacation currency. You use those points to book stays at different resorts within their network.
So you get more flexibility? In theory, yes. Want to go to Hawaii 1 year, Europe the next. You can use your points for that.
That's tempting.
But of course, there's a catch. Those popular destinations during peak season, they book up fast. Those points don't guarantee you your dream vacation at the most popular times.
It's like trying to use your frequent flyer miles during the holidays. Good luck with that.
Yeah, exactly. You got to be flexible and plan ahead.
Okay, so flexibility, points for vacations. I'm starting to see the appeal. But before I get swept up in the fantasy, let's talk about the less glamorous side, the money. We hear about these amazing deals and affordable luxury all the time. But is it really all that affordable?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? It's easy to get caught up in the excitement of those presentations, but you always got to look at the bottom line.
Exactly. So let's break down those costs, starting with those upfront membership fees. Are we talking about a small investment, or could it wipe out your vacation fund for the next decade?
Well, it really depends. Think of it like buying a car. You could get a reliable used car for a few thousand, or you could go all out on a luxury SUV.
Okay, so we've got our budget, standard, and luxury models of timeshares and vacation clubs. What kind of price range are we looking at here?
For a budget-friendly vacation club, you might be able to sneak in under $5,000, maybe even less. But for something more mid-range, expect to shell out tens of thousands up front. And if you're dreaming of those high-end vacation clubs with access to all the bells and whistles, you could be looking at a six-figure investment.
Wow. Okay, those numbers are definitely sobering. And then on top of that initial outlay, I imagine there are those lovely closing costs that everyone loves to hate.
Ah, yes, the hidden fees. They're not always advertised quite as prominently, but they're definitely there. Just like buying a house, you're likely to encounter closing costs with a timeshare. We're talking title insurance, administrative fees, potentially even a transfer fee.
So add another couple of thousand on top of that already hefty sum just to make it official. Not exactly chump change.
Nope, not at all. And here's the kicker. Most people aren't exactly dropping six figures in cash for a timeshare. So then we're talking about financing.
Which, let's be honest, is where those too-good-to-be-true deals often reveal their true colors.
Bingo. Because those financing options often come with interest rates that would make your head spin. Let me give you an example. Let's say you're looking at a $40,000 vacation club membership, and they offer you a payment plan spread out over 10 years. Sounds manageable on the surface, right?
Yes, totally.
But here's the catch. With a 12% interest rate, which, believe it or not, isn't uncommon in the timeshare world, you'll end up paying over $11,000 in interest alone.
Ouch. So that $40,000 vacation club just became a $51,000 financial commitment.
Exactly. And suddenly, those affordable monthly payments don't seem quite as appealing, and we haven't even factored in the ongoing fees yet.
Right. The gift that keeps on giving.
They might tell you about the lifetime membership, the unbeatable value, but what they often gloss over are those recurring annual fees that never seem to go away.
Wait, so even if you buy a lifetime membership, you're still paying yearly fees.
You got it. And don't forget about those pesky maintenance fees.
Ah, yes, maintenance fees. Sounds innocent enough. I mean, someone has to keep those resorts looking pristine, right?
Of course, but here's the thing. Those maintenance fees have a sneaky way of increasing over time. And I'm not just talking about inflation.
What else factors into those increases?
Well, think about it. Renovations, repairs, landscaping, all those costs get passed along to the timeshare owners.
So what starts as a reasonable maintenance fee can quickly snowball into a significant chunk of change, especially if you own that timeshare for a long time.
Absolutely. And you know what? Some travel experts actually suggest that it might be cheaper to just book a comparable hotel room each year, especially when you consider those escalating timeshare maintenance fees.
Wow, really? So you might not even be escaping those hotel booking hassles, and you could be paying even more in the long run.
It's a real eye-opener. It's all about understanding the full picture, right?
Okay, let's say you're in a situation where you need to get out of a timeshare or vacation club agreement. What are your options? Because I'm guessing it's not as simple as just, like, returning a sweater you bought online.
Not quite. It can be a bit trickier, especially if you're dealing with those shared, deeded timeshares. Remember those? It's like trying to sell that brick you own in a huge building.
Ah, right, that fractional ownership thing.
Yeah.
So you're essentially competing with everyone else who's also trying to offload their timeshares.
Exactly. And let's not forget, you're also up against the resorts themselves. They've always got those enticing new packages and those very persuasive sales teams.
So it's a bit of an uphill battle. And I'm guessing that simply stopping payments isn't exactly a recommend strategy.
I wouldn't advise it. Think of it like skipping out on your mortgage payments. It's going to have some pretty nasty consequences.
Credit score taking a nosedive.
Oh, yeah. Foreclosure is a possibility, too. And depending on the agreement, you might even face legal action.
Okay. Definitely not worth risking a financial disaster. So what about those timeshare exit companies we see advertised? Are they legit, or is that just a whole other can of worms?
Some are the real deal. Others, well, not so much. Sadly, there are companies out there that are more interested in making promises than actually delivering results. That's why it's crucial to do your research before you jump in.
So what should people be looking for when they're vetting these companies? What are some red flags or some green flags for that matter?
It's all about finding a company you can trust, right? Look for companies that have a proven track record in the industry, ideally with positive client testimonials and a solid reputation.
So experience matters. What about guarantees?
A money-back guarantee can be a good sign. It shows they're confident in their ability to help you, and it gives you some peace of mind that you're not just throwing money away.
So don't just hand over your hard-earned money to the first company that promises to make your timeshare woes disappear. Take your time, do your research, and look for those trust indicators.
Absolutely. Knowledge is power, especially in these situations.
It's good to remember that. So as we wrap up our deep dive into vacation ownership, what are some key takeaways you want our listeners to keep in mind?
Timeshares and vacation clubs, they can be great for some people, but it's crucial to go in with your eyes wide open. Remember, there's often a lot more to those deals than meets the eye.
Right, like those hidden costs and those ever-increasing fees we talked about.
Exactly. Do your homework, understand what you're getting into, and don't be afraid to ask the tough questions.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, it's your vacation, your money, and your peace of mind at stake.
Well said. And on that note, thank you for joining us for this deep dive into the world of timeshares and vacation clubs. Remember, it's all about making those vacation dreams a reality, but doing it in a way that's smart and sustainable for you. Until next time, happy travels, everyone.